that's right. Good morning, Greenwood. If you got to turn that one on, how are we doing here? We just have a lot of technical stuff going on. We have just been walking around fair here this morning, trying to give everybody a look at what it really looks like to be at a radio row. Now, let me tell you, this as a radio row is a very nice radio row. We're at the Phoenix Park Hotel, and you'll get to see a view of the as we walk in and up the stairs and then around and talk to people. So I hope you'll take a look at it and give you a real view of what it's all about. You know, I'm Ann Eller. I'm right here in my beautiful booth, right here with the Washington Monument behind me. And I have Sheriff Sam Page right here with us. He is from Rockingham, North Carolina. He has made quite a study. He's been a sheriff, I guess, for 18 years. Is that right? Yes, 18 years. He's been in law enforcement for 34 years. And how you doing today, Sam?
Good, good.
Yeah. How has everything been going for you up here? I know we met you last year. We didn't get to have you on the air, but how is everything going this year?
I tell you what, it's been a great year. We were able to get some pre-signed up, set-aside interviews, and I believe we have more people that have come out, more different stations coming out, talk hosts for talk radio, and it's been I think it's a lot more guests too. So it's been a good crowd. Yesterday was really busy, and we stayed busy, and I'm going to be staying busy today.
Well, we're glad you were able to work us in here this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you're from North Carolina,
right,
which is right across the border from us, Rockingham, right outside of Greensboro.
I'm conveniently located between Danville, Virginia, and Greensboro, North Carolina. And we're open 24/7.
24/7 in Rockingham, North Carolina. Okay. Now, as far as an issue in Rockingham, North Carolina, do y'all have a big problem with immigrants, or what's the deal for you?
Well, the initial part, when I first got involved in the process, again, I was looking at the drug trafficking issues and stuff. A lot of our sheriffs and a lot of our citizens just were, you know, always concerned about where the drugs coming from and how is it getting through here and what's going on. So I ended up taking a trip out to the border, out to Pinal County, Arizona, south of Phoenix, and I just paid for my way out there, and me and one of my deputies, we both went out to see it for ourselves and work with the officials out there for about a week and in bed with them, and it just kind of grew from there. So I saw where the starting point, where we have the problem, most of the drugs are coming to our country, and then, of course, North Carolina is number two in drug trafficking routes in the southeast next to the Atlanta region.
Wow, isn't that something to be proud of?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you, just put it up there on the map for us.
Well, it gets even better. And then within the past, since 2010 to the present, we've arrested at least 15 drug cartel associates in my county. So when you're arresting people that tie directly back to the Mexican drug cartel, and those are narco-terrorists, they are terrorists, they're in the drug business, they kill people, and they do bad things, and you don't want them in your community. Well, I've got 15 persons arrested that directly link back to them. So that's
hard to believe.
That's a big concern.
In Rockingham, North Carolina, right?
If the cartel associates in Rockingham County, North Carolina, you know what? They're in Greenville. They're in Greer.
Right.
They're in Greenwood. You know, you name it. They could be anywhere. The thing is, anywhere there's a market and anywhere there's a part of a trade route, you know, they'll be involved. You've got persons tying with MS-13. Gang groups from El Salvador that are all over the United States set up. And so the cartel, what they do at the border, they control the border areas. Once they get into the United States, they control issues inside the United States. A little more low-key, but they control. And thank goodness we're working with the Drug Enforcement Agency, with our task force, and it helps us to better understand what really is happening with us. And as far as the drug problem, we got to shut our borders down. And until we do so and we get dedicated to do that, we're still going to be having problems with drugs coming through our southern borders.
You know, we've talked to some of the ranchers and out there. And in fact, they told us that as far as people coming across the border in Arizona, particularly the congresswoman there, has had a real impact. But the drugs are still coming across.
Yes, ma'am. Last August, September, I was out in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Never been there before. Beautiful country, wide open. But the Border Patrol agents, they've got their hands full. They've got a big area to cover. And a lot. If you talk to a lot of these ranchers that have these 500,000-acre ranches.
It's hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine. But I also start asking about square miles. Start going to the square miles, 6,000 square miles. What kind of law enforcement support do you have from the local to the federal? But there's not a whole lot of federal support because those guys are spread thin. And some of the strategy, I think, that they utilize put them at a disadvantage, and a lot of that's pushed down from Washington down. We need to get our Congress. We need to get some leadership in Washington that will support our Border Patrol agents and allow them to do their jobs. We need to get someone to support the ICE agents to allow them to do their interior enforcement. Most, you know, our local law enforcement do not really have any federal authority to enforce any immigration law, and a lot of people don't realize that. We enforce state laws, but we do work with our partners.
You know, one of the things talking about immigration, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But I think that in our community, they used to call the sheriff's office, the police department, and say there's an illegal here, there's an illegal,
exactly.
And they would pick them up, but then they had to be shipped to a detention center, and they just let them go.
My first encounter with persons that were illegal in North Carolina in Rockingham County was about 1990, and right on the bypass, we had about six persons that were from Mexico that were illegal and that were basically en route to another location, probably a work location. And we picked the persons up, and we brought them back to the office, and we called ICE and told them we have six persons that we believe to be illegal here, and we have them. Of course, we took them, got them something, fed them, and stuff like this. And they said, if you haven't charged with anything criminally, cut them loose. And I said, cut them loose.
Excuse me?
Yeah, right. And they said, cut them loose because we don't have the money to transport them back to Mexico. And that was 1990.
And here we are in 2016.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you called them again since then?
Well, I've got good contact and good relationship with my ICE agents and stuff like this, but with the change in policies from the Secure Communities Program, the Priority Enforcement Program that Jay Johnson pushed out in 2014 with the blessings of the president, I feel sorry for the ICE agents because their hands really are tied. They've changed the priorities, and you've really got to do something really bad, it seems like, before you'll get deported, if then. And then you've got to wait for your deportation hearings. And, you know, I think we have somewhere between 500,000 and 900,000 absconders now, as of last year, that we don't know where they're at. Who's tracking these persons?
Nobody.
Nobody. We don't know where they're at. And that's kind of spooky.
Exactly, it is.
And we don't know who they are.
And we're not sending them back when we do have the opportunity to send them back.
It's really confusing.
It is confusing.
Trying times in America.
It is. So what's, from your perspective, Sam, what is the answer? And can there be something done, or do you think it's a hopeless situation?
Well, the National Sheriff's Association, you know, first of all, I support legal immigrations. Mm-hmm. I support the rule of law. Always have.
Well, you are a sheriff.
Yeah. It's my duty.
Right.
I mean, I took an oath. But the thing is I think that we do need to get back to letting, and I've said this before, letting the Border Patrol agents do their job as they're supposed to under the law, letting the ICE agents do their job as they're supposed to, get back to what the Immigration Naturalization Act says about as far as persons that are coming into the country and the removal process and stuff like this. They've gotten so complicated, so politically correct. We need to get back to what the law says and follow the law. Treat all people equally and fairly, but follow the law. If we would just enforce the laws on the books as they're written, we'd be fine. But we've gotten so far away from that, and in this administration, I don't see turning anything around in the next 5 or 6 months. I hope that in November that we have a leader, that we have a president that will stand in support of the people, put the American people first, and believe in securing our borders and protecting our great country. And we live in the greatest country in the world, but it won't stay that way if we don't protect it.
I guess you're a Donald Trump supporter.
Absolutely. There's no question. Making America safer again.
Safer, that's right. You know, it has to be frustrating from your whole perspective for your county, for as being the sheriff. Now, are you able to cover your county? Just as, this is a little aside as far as money and everything. Are you able to cover your county well?
Well, I kind of came up here with a smile on my face. Monday, our county commissioners had a debate on the pay plan for all the county employees, which would affect 150 of my deputies and officers. And we got that approved. So about a $2.8 million pay plan to cover all the 670 employees. I'm very happy. But as far as covering, I stated this to commissioners the other day, I'm not a great big county, but I could use some additional road officers. I haven't had any additional road officers in the field added since 2006. That's 10 years. We do need some more manpower. We do. Our calls for service are increased. But we're like everybody else. You know, we're trying to do what we can with what we have. Try to do it to the best of our ability, but at a certain point in time, you need some help. And so I can understand when these guys from Border Patrol, when they say, we need some more help, some more manpower out here on the border, they do. But But even if you get the manpower, if you don't utilize your people or you don't utilize them properly, you know, you're wasting that talent and that certain that manpower.
I think the other thing is yesterday talking to Sheriff Babu
from Pinal County, Arizona.
Yes, he was telling us that they don't even have encrypted phones that
the cartel do.
Yes, and they can't get the equipment that they need to be able to even help track them.
See, the problem is the cartel have basically unlimited funds, money. They can buy the guns. They can buy the technology, the detection device, the early warnings. You know, they can buy anything that we could buy if we had the money.
Well, wait a minute. We do have the money. We just don't appropriate to it. Would you say that might be true?
Well, I'm saying when I say we have, generally, we in law enforcement generally don't have the money. But if appropriated, we could better serve the citizens in protecting and Homeland Security. We could do a better job. But a lot of times those monies are not appropriated, like you said, not appropriated in the right direction to the right people. And then again, even if you do appropriate it, if you don't let them, you could have the best equipment and total perfect manpower.
Right.
But if you don't have a good strategy and allow your people to do the job, you're still in a deficit or a bad situation.
Absolutely. If you don't enforce the laws.
Yeah. Well. Good, yeah.
And that is what we have seen continually.
You can have an officer on every street corner, but if they just stand there and just stand there,
what good is it?
It's a psychological presence only. But once people realize that you're not going to come off that corner and arrest them, they'll continue to do what they do.
You know, I was just real quick, and then I'll let you go. I was real curious as to what the thought was that was in my brain. I just lost that thought.
Well,
folks.
We've talked about so much stuff, but you know what? When you talk about immigration, illegal immigration, border issues, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and everything else, I mean, it's so much.
It is so much.
But key things, secure the border before we talk, have any other discussion. National Sheriff's Association does have a position. Now, we do oppose amnesty, but we do believe in a guest worker program. But we do not believe it should be a pass to citizenship. There should be a process. And part of that is to go back to your home country and apply just like everybody else did. Because could you imagine coming from a country and you went by the rules and somebody else was able to jump ahead because they violated rules? What message does that send?
Well, I could liken that to my TSA experience the other day when we stood in line for over an hour and we did miss our flight.
What airport did you go through?
Greenville.
Really?
Probably. Yeah, a little airport.
Did you get there early?
Yes, we got there early. We were there plenty of time.
What was the hangout?
And right when it was our turn to go through the line, they came with three people that were of Indian descent, one in a wheelchair, and they just walked them through. The lady that was walking them through had none of the papers out, so they could walk through. So we stood there while fumbled for their papers and everything. And I'm saying, you know, we're going to miss our flight. And they look, sorry.
Did you miss your flight?
Yes, we missed our flight. And 10 other people missed their flight because they put these people ahead and had, I mean, there were two people that were in perfectly good condition. They could walk. I understand the wheelchair. I don't have a problem. But then have her ready to go through the line.
Well, I always, I fly every now a few times a year, and I always try to get out early.
Yeah, but this is, I think the TSA, not to get off on that, but, you know, you're likening the laws and, you know, abiding by the laws, going back to your country, coming back, this type of thing. That's that type of thing. But I wanted to ask you, Sam, is how is it in law enforcement? I think they get such a bum rap about are you having problems hiring people? And since you know more
people come into the workforce?
Yes, for the sheriffs and for ISIS and for the Border Patrol. What do you know about that?
Well, let me go back. You know, law enforcement in the United States has been villainized and marginalized and other things for the past few years, specific. Ferguson Ford, we had an attorney general, Eric Holder, that really left a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of law enforcement officers.
Sure, that's what I'm talking about.
We get out here and work hard. You've got activists that have more credibility with the president than guys and girls that get out here and do the job and put their lives on the line. I mean, I think so far we've lost nearly 38 police officers in the United States so far, killed in the line of duty so far this year. But again, the problem we got, if we have the backing and the leadership in Washington, it goes downhill. I mean, and you know, it rolls downhill in a positive direction.
Sure.
But without that, it's tough. It's tough for the federal agents. And again, when you have persons that are the top cop, the DOJ, the attorney general, when they do not respect law enforcement in this country and push out a bad message, how do you expect everybody else? And so what happens is we're already starting digging out of the hole when we first start with our public relations and our community relations. And we push hard. We try to work on all communities and treat all people equally and fairly and do a good job. But we're already starting in the hole when we first start. But, you know, we're just going to continue the fight. And, you know, a lot of us have been working hard for years, and then we have these situations, and the wordage that comes out of Ferguson, you know, it makes it harder for us. But we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're going to continue to do what's right and fighting for the people we serve.
Well, I think that's terrific, and you're to be commended, and we sure thank you for your service to us. And we have been talking with Sheriff Sam Page. He is from Rockingham, North Carolina. And, Sam, thanks so much for taking time, and have a great day.
Y'all have a safe trip back.
Okay, we hope so. We hope we don't miss the plane.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. And in Washington, D.C., live back there in Greenwood. How you doing this morning? I'll just tell you right now, we are in rain right here in Washington, D.C. Rainy, 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 rainy. We're hoping when we get finished here this morning to end up over there at the museum, and we'll, what do? We're going to do a little tour. We're going to do a little video. We may do a little live Facebook, so you'll have to be checking out. Have we gotten that video uploaded for... It's uploading to Facebook right now, the video that we did earlier this morning. So you keep it right here, WCRS, right live from Washington, D.C. I'm Ann Eller, looking for another great day. Oh, boy, I slept good last night. I tell you what, it was awesome. I feel so much better today, and you keep it in the road. If you're out there driving right there in Greenwood, if you're right here with us on the radio, hey, have another cup of coffee. I'm enjoying my latte. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. It's right back here. I'm live in Washington, D.C. today, folks. I just wanted to alert you so that you know, if you haven't seen, gosh darn, what do we got going on? We've got a race. Two runoff elections on Tuesday. I certainly hope you're taking the time to hear all the interviews of the three candidates that we interviewed, three of them. Sheriff Tony Davis, candidate Dennis Kelly for the sheriff's office, Chastity Copeland, who is running for the clerk of court office, and Angie Woodhurst declined our offer to come on WCRS. Well, it looks like Angie here has Angie Woodhurst, who is the clerk of court, finally decided to release a statement to the Index Journal, and it looks like there is I'm going to say quite a bit of controversy over there. Evidently, Angie wanted her whole statement printed in the paper exactly as she had written it, and the newspaper would not. Put the whole thing in there for her. So they have asked that she wanted to see a copy of it before they sent it. They gave her a copy of it. She, of course, I think what I'm reading here, I've only read it real quickly this morning, is she then redacted some of the things that were being said. But on Wednesday, Clark said, Dennis Clark, who is her surrogate for the local office. Isn't that interesting? Okay, said that Woodhurst wanted to withdraw her statement entirely, saying the Index Journal took her statement out of context. Richard Whiting told Dennis Clark that in addition to publishing quoted portions of the statement, the paper additionally planned to post the entire statement on its website and direct readers to that link. The statement, which was made public record because she distributed it through her county email, was also sent to other media, and Clark published pictures of it on Facebook. So, you know, she put it out there for public consumption, and then she wanted to withdraw it with the Index Journal because the Index Journal did a story. You know, when you're a public official, you got to be prepared for things like this, folks. So if you want to look further into it, I suggest it looks like Facebook. It looks like the Index Journal did post her entire document on their website, even though they did not print it in the paper. But interesting, if I really wish Angie Woodhurst would have taken us up on coming on, because she would have been able to speak and talk about the whole situation. And maybe she could have got the word out there to everybody what exactly was going on. As it was, she chose not to. So if you'd like to hear the candidates that are up for primary election on Tuesday, I highly recommend you need to go to our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, and there's a link to our website, WCRS1450AM.net. That's WCRS1450AM.net. Look up in the left-hand corner, and it'll say link to all recent podcasts. Click on that, and it will take you to the page that has the dates that Dennis Kelly came on, Sheriff Tony Davis, and Chastity. I think all of theirs were in June. May have been one that was the end of May. So on the calendar, May or June, you just look for that, click on it, and you can listen to the entire interview. Personally, I think it's a great way for candidates to be able to not only get their message out, but that we understand about the candidate. So I just did want to mention that before we have coming up at 9 o'clock. The more ranchers going to be on here with us. I enjoy talking to the ranchers. I think they really give us an inside scoop on what it's like to live there. We can't imagine it. Living in Greenwood, we don't have any idea what they deal with. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about that. Also, got the Washington Post here this morning, and there's a nice picture of the Democrats in the House sitting on the floor. I am impressed that these elder people can do a sit-in on the floor. I am very, very impressed. So they must be in better shape than I thought they were, because they are sitting on the floor. They were starting it up. They're still doing it, is from what I understand. I don't know if it's still going on now, but they were still doing it. Speaker Paul Ryan has dismissed the session before till after the 4th of July, so nothing is going to happen. They're just still making their statements sitting on the floor, a real old-fashioned sit-in right here in our Congress. Doesn't that make you feel good, folks? All right. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about that, because I found that interesting in the Washington Post this morning. And then, if Jeff Eller is listening this morning, I want to tell you, when I opened up I brought it down, the style section here this morning. Jeff, or the Index Journal, should be listening here this morning, because every morning on the way in, while Jeff and I are driving in, Jeff likes to look at the paper, and he likes to read the comics. Well, Jeff, if you got the Washington Post, it would take you longer to read the comics than what I can drive in the morning, because there are two pages of comics right here, and some of the ones that you don't ever see anymore. So the Index Journal, take a page from the Washington Post right here. So look at them, two pages of comics right here. For those that know that comics are important, here you go, two pages of them right here. There you go. That was one thing. And the other thing was, on the front page of the Washington Post, the style, their article is, Trump says he's been basically the same since first grade. Many would agree. It shows him standing in the back row. He is standing there with his little suit on and everything, first grade, and his hair is basically the same. Here it is, how many years later? 50 years later. And it says, then it says, how the incorrigible Donnie became the Donald. That's right. So it says, this is from the Washington Post. As a five-year-old, the boy followed his babysitter on an urban safari, descending into the sewer that was under construction between New York City. The light fading, the sitter grew concerned that the boy would panic, but little Donnie Trump, kept walking into the gathering darkness. In elementary school, Donnie impressed classmates with his athleticism, shenanigans, and refusal to acknowledge mistakes, even one so trivial as misidentifying a popular professional wrestler. He hasn't changed, folks. No matter his pals' ridicule, one recalled he doubled down, insisting wrestler Antonio Rocca's name was Rocky Antonio. At the military academy where he attended high school, Donnie grew taller, more muscular, and tougher. Struck with the broomstick during a fight, he tried to push the fellow cadet out of a second-floor window, only to be thwarted when two other students intervened. I tell you what. All right, well, it's a very interesting article, and it is in the Washington Post, and it says, Trump says he's been basically the same since first grade. Many would agree. How about that, folks? Unbelievable. But it's the hair that really gets you. Who would think that your hair would be basically the same through all your life? But yes, it is. All right. That's just a couple of things that I've noticed here looking over the news. There's a lot going on. We had some great interviews yesterday. Congressman Jeff Duncan, of course, was with us. And, of course, we had some sheriffs, ranchers, all-round good group. Today, we've got coming up at 9 o'clock, we do have who's coming up? Some ranchers are coming up at 9 o'clock, Fred and Peggy Davis. Then we're going to be talking to another rancher at 9:30. But here's the one that is coming up this afternoon. You got to stay tuned for this one. What's the Rusty Fleming and what's the name of the video that he's done? He has actually been embedded with some of the cartels. Now, we had an interesting conversation last night at the party that they had here, and we had a good time at that. But how he got embedded, how he started this is just phenomenal, and he continues to do this. He says the cartels want that attention. They're a business. They need the publicity, so they're willing to give him access to what's going on. It really is fascinating, and we're going to be talking to him, 4 o'clock. He's my first start off, and we'll see how it goes this afternoon, how long we have him on. We are going to be talking to some other people, but those are some of the ones that you are going to want to make sure you're tuned in with us on right here at WCRF. Hey, by the way, it's raining up here in Washington. I do want to remind you, coming up on Saturday is going to be the air show. That's right. I remember the air show is Saturday. I hope it's going to be a beautiful day. I haven't even looked at the weather for Greenwood. I've just been concentrating on Washington. But the air show is going to be fantastic. And, of course, Greg Connell did die in a air show in May. And so I understand they're going to be dedicating the air show to him and his memory for what he brought to air shows. Should be a very memorable air show, but one that you're going to want to not miss. It's really become a big, big event, and of course it is part of the Festival of Flowers. That's right. So I tell you what I want to do. We are coming up on 9 o'clock. Well, we've got 4 or 5 minutes, but we come back, we'll be talking to two ranchers, and then, like I said, we've got another rancher, and I think we got somebody else. I don't know. I'm just going with the flow. Check out our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio. I understand our video that we did this morning, our tour of Radio Row, is ready for viewing. We'd love for you to take a look at it. Give us a few comments, what you're thinking about what we've done up here. We really tried to bring what we do up here to all of you back there, and so you can really get a feel of it. So give us your comments, and keep them classy. No comments about the hair or anything else, but just keep it good here, folks, because I'm looking for positive stuff right here. It's hard to do this, but we try to do a good job for you. Hey, I tell you what, Andy, I don't know how many minutes we have left, but let's do a commercial break and take it to the top of the hour. I'll be back after the top of the hour, so you keep it right here, Greenwood. I am live in Washington, D.C. This is WCRS, live from Washington, D.C., 1450 a.m., and the new, the great, the wonderful 98.5. Not too hot, not too cool. I'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos,
So I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are now right here. We have two ranchers with us, rancher and his wife. We thought we were just going to be talking to Peggy because Fred was going to be tied up, and we were anticipating great stories we could hear about Fred. But now Fred has showed up here this morning, so I guess it's going to change a little bit. Fred, how are you doing this morning?
Wonderful, thank you.
Well, we are glad to have you here, and Fred is here with his wife, Peggy Davis. I tell you what, one of my dear, dear customers, I also own a jewelry store, but one of my dear friends, but as a customer for years and years, her name is Peggy Davis. So this is like I say, every time I say Peggy Davis, I'm thinking of Peggy back home. She must be awesome. She is an awesome person. That's right. So Peggy, you and Fred, now how long have you been coming like to Radio Rose and talking about the immigration problems?
This is our fifth year for being at Radio Row, but we've been crying and begging for help down on the borderlands for over 20 years.
For 20 years. Now, I understand you have a new congresswoman that has gotten y'all some help as far as on the border, as far as people coming through illegals.
That's true. Martha McSally was elected last term, and she brought a contingency of 22 of the Homeland Security Committee down there. She was instrumental in getting agents closer to the actual border, the international boundary, and it did help some of the smuggling coming through the border. But it's important to note that a lot of the reason that the people have slowed down is because of the drug cartel, not because of the Border Patrol.
The drug cartel is not letting people through? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they control it.
The people have to pay or they have to smuggle drugs. So a lot of the people who travel...
It's a pay-to-play plan.
It is.
There you go.
It is.
A lot of the people that used to travel back and forth to Mexico and the U.S. have stopped going back. They're here and they're staying.
Okay.
They don't want to haul the drugs and they don't have the money to pay.
It's too dangerous for them to go home and try to get back. They don't have the money to pay.
Wow. So this is where the issue is. Now, I also understand that the drug cartels down there on the border are very organized. They know where the sheriffs and the border patrols and all these people are, and yet we don't have the equipment to be able to beat them at their own game. Is that right, Fred?
Exactly. Plus, you have people on both. They own both sides of the border.
What do you mean? Whoa. Who owns both sides of the border?
The cartel.
How do they own it?
They've got people hired both sides of the border that are watching the Border Patrol, they're watching ICE, they're watching the Sheriff's Department. They know everything that goes on in those smaller border towns and have control of it.
Now, are you all right on the border?
No, our ranch is 25 miles. The house is exactly 25 miles from the border.
And yet you have people coming right across your property?
Absolutely.
Now, how big is your ranch?
Little over 10,000 acres.
That's hard. You know what? That's hard to imagine, 10,000 acres. We're from South Carolina. How big is South Carolina, folks? We're probably 10,000 acres now. We're a small state.
Then I lease another ranch that's 15,000. So
you've got 25,000 acres.
I say grace over every night. So
now, how do you control your lands? With 25,000, and yet I guess you still have people coming across your property.
Exactly. You do the best you can. I spent 2 weeks this fall because illegals came through and cut fences between me and the neighbor, and we had cattle mixed up, and we spent 2 weeks, the neighbor and I, trying to get them all sorted back out and all the work done, and it's all stuff I wouldn't normally have to do.
Now, what do you raise on your ranch?
Mostly crossbred cows, Beefmaster cows with Black Angus bulls.
Okay.
Which is what the market is asking for at the moment.
And how long have you been a rancher?
All my life.
All your life?
I'm fourth generation.
Wow. And I understand that you're from Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
There's problems with the water there, isn't there, Fred? It's a little inside joke your wife and I were talking about. The water is a problem in Tombstone. And Peggy, what were you telling me about the people from Tombstone?
Well, anybody that's wacky in Tombstone, you just the joke is they've been drinking the water.
Yeah, okay.
Politics have been rather wild in Tombstone since the ERP days, and there's been shootings and killings over political leanings since Tombstone began.
I actually thought I read something a year or so ago about how the government had cut off the water or something.
Oh, they'd like to. Tombstone has water rights over in the Huachuca Mountains, and it's a 40-mile pipeline. And that water right predates the Forest Service, et cetera, but they would like... It's now in a wilderness area, and they won't let Tombstone take a machine up there to fix their spring.
That's what it was, yes.
Quite a battle.
Yeah, okay. I knew I had heard something about Tombstone and the water, and I was just like, wow, how can you even not think of letting the people have water?
Right.
And so I guess what will be the eventual outcome?
Who knows?
Tombstone will just go do it, because that's how they do it in the West.
It's quite a visual.
Quite a visual, yeah.
Gunfighters against the EPA.
Well, who knows? Next year you could be back here talking to
That's
us about
right.
that issue.
Exactly.
But today we're right here with FAIR and Hold Their Feet to the Fire. As ranchers, what are you trying to get, I guess, our politicians, because they're the ones that control what happens. What are you trying to get our politicians to understand?
We have to gain control of that border. Our national security is a joke. I mean, they keep the OTMs, other than Mexicans, that's how the Border Patrol refers to them. Those numbers have gone up tremendously. We just found out from an agent in Yuma that 80% of the OTMs are now Romanian. We don't even know where all these people are coming from, and there's huge numbers coming from other countries, and the Border Patrol is being told to stand down. Leave them alone. Let them walk.
And they're coming right through the Mexican border.
Exactly.
Other nationalities besides just Hispanics?
Oh, absolutely.
Lots of them.
We had a friend that had 10 Chinese walk into his yard, demand that he drive them to Phoenix, which they're told by the cartel, by the coyotes that bring them. Oh, Phoenix is just a few miles. Those lights you see, that's Phoenix. And
it's 200 miles.
200 miles.
So that's why they die in the desert. It's just, you know, brutal country. And, you know, when they're being told that, and they'll frequently ask, could I get a ride to Phoenix? Well, no, it's 200 miles. So, you know, I can call the Border Patrol for you, and you go south. But it's something that is surreal unless you live there. And don't fall for the rhetoric that the border is secure, because it absolutely is not. I've got pictures of wide open fences, and some places just a four-wire barbed wire fence. We have a friend over in the Nogales area that has border fence, and he only has barbed wire. Well, that's
not much of a stop.
No. So we desperately need boots on the ground and agents closer to the international boundary. But, you know, the Border Patrol Union doesn't want them down there because it's too dangerous. But they're leaving us there as sacrificial lambs.
Let's see. I think I was talking to Sheriff Babu,
mm-hmm.
Babu
mm-hmm.
and he was telling us about the signs that the
yes.
government put up. What do those signs say? It's not safe for anybody to be
right.
there.
Right, caution, drug smuggling area, you know, you should leave
right.
the area.
American citizens should stay out of here because it's a dangerous, known drug
no.
smuggling area.
How does that make you feel?
That's,
I mean, you're living there.
Well,
you're,
that's a sacrilege to me.
Well, like we're in a third world. In fact, the commissioner of Border Patrol, the prior one, David Aguilar, used to be the Tucson sector chief as well, and he made the comment in 2010 that the border is not just a line in the dirt, that what it is a third country, a corridor, if you will, between Mexico and the United States. It's a third country. That's coming from the commissioner. Why are we paying taxes in the United States of America? They're trying to get the idea out that, you know, that's not just a border. It's kind of an open border policy, if you will. And, you know, we just think that the international boundary is what it should be. Just,
sure.
You know, just like the fence around my yard is the boundary of my house or your house or
sure.
Whatever. No, they want to be able to let those people come in and have this big 30 to 50 mile or more cushion. I mean, Sheriff Babu lives in Pinal County, which is, you know, 100 miles north of us, and he has bad problems.
You know, it's hard. It's hard, really, if you're not there. If you're not there, or I mean, I'm not. I don't think I've never been to Arizona, so I have no idea of the spatial relationship. That because in South Carolina, you know, if you've got 5 or 10 or 20 acres, I mean, that's a big piece of property.
Considerable,
right? Sure. But you're talking about 10,000.
Vast, and you know, there's you know, thicket and mesquite trees and. Just rough terrain, you know, mountains, rocks, all kinds of barriers
and heat,
in the way.
Isn't there heat?
Oh, heat. It was 123 degrees in Phoenix when I drove through last Sunday.
It's unbelievable.
You know, and you can't live in those conditions very long. So I promise you there are dead illegal immigrants in the Arizona desert this week. But if we would secure the border, those people wouldn't be dying in the desert. They wouldn't have the magnet to come here. We need to e-verify. There's a lot of things that we need to do.
Well, the Border Patrol spent, or Homeland Security spent $42 million on a friend of ours' ranch, on the wall, on permanent cameras, on sensors, all this stuff. And in 3 years after that infrastructure went in, they've had 52 vehicles, cut the wall down, drive 3 miles to the highway, return to Mexico unmolested. In fact, twice they welded the wall back in place on their way back into Mexico.
Oh,
just
come
to be
on.
Courteous. Yeah,
no,
they welded it back
I'm dead serious. Well, when our congresswoman brought that committee down to see it, it finally embarrassed the Border Patrol enough that they put more agents on, and there have been no more drive-thrus. They've caught two different drive-thrus, and they're scared to interdict them, so they go and they just get in front of them, and they turn around and go back. So then they call the Mexican army, and they catch them down there. But at least they're getting something done, and we've been crying for more agents on the border, and they think the fence is a force multiplier to where they don't have to be there anymore. But you have to watch it.
Do you think Donald Trump says he's going to build the big fence? Do you think the big fence is the answer? Do you need a big fence, or do you just need people and drones and this
it's
type
part.
Of thing?
It's part. It's a
okay.
tool in the toolbox. It's
right.
part of it. And if you have a wall, that's great, but you're going to need people to guard the wall.
And the drones are great. They can see things. They can warn them of what's coming out of Mexico. All these things work great, but without people there, none of them have any value. The drone can see them, but if there's not somebody down there to stop them, what good does it do you to look at them?
Sure, exactly. Do y'all need to go? Do you need to go? Okay. I mean, we're just, as your little phone just went off, we don't know whether they need to leave. If they didn't, I'd ask a few more questions. If they do, we'll finish this up. You can go, and we'll stay here with Fred for a few minutes then. Is that what you're telling me? Okay. I tell you what, you guys have been under pressure here this morning because of West Virginia having such bad storms. They had to actually pre-record, some of the radio hosts had to pre-record their interviews. But, Fred, so yesterday I was talking to Congressman Duncan. He is from South Carolina in the 3rd District, which is our district, and he was telling us that the Mexican I don't know who was there, the Mexican people were there, and they were talking about it. And I said, well, Jeff, why don't they do something? He told me they're trying.
You know, I don't really believe that.
Well, I didn't really believe it either.
When I was a kid, when kids got in trouble with the law, they quite often gave them the opportunity to join the Army as opposed to going to jail.
And exactly.
Some of my nefarious acquaintances took them up on that offer.
They'd been drinking the water in Tombstone, right?
Yes, they
had. And so they were a little crazy.
They're doing the same thing in Mexico.
Yes.
Those gang people get arrested, they tell them, if you'll go to the U.S., we won't throw you in jail. That's why we're
That's what they're telling him. You know that's what they're telling him.
Yep.
Get out of our country and go get out of your homeland and go to America.
Go to the U.S. and you can stay out of jail.
Wow. How do you know that? I mean, I'm just asking, how do you know that?
Well, a friend of mine who lives right on the border found that out from a Mexican officer in the Army.
Wow.
They don't want them down there. You know, last year, for example, of the people arrested coming into the U.S., that the Border Patrol arrested, 17% were previously convicted felons in the United States. Now, my thoughts are it's way closer to 50% of what's coming are felons, because I'm assuming that felons are slightly more adept at avoiding capture.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah, exactly.
So the people that are coming are already convicted of crimes in the United States. And sex crimes are the number one conviction of those arrested.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing the scourge of Mexico in. That's what's coming.
Well, that's kind of what Donald Trump said.
Exactly.
And he got beat up on because...
Oh.
Yeah, he said that.
All you have to do is look at the arrest records. It's right there in black and white.
Yeah. So as it moves forward, is there any hope for your area? And therefore hope for our country?
Well, there has to be the will in Washington is the whole problem. I have asked every Border Patrol official that I can get my hands on, who has the authority to put the agents down closer to the border to repel people, not catch them after they're in the country? And I asked the deputy chief in Tucson of the Border Patrol, and two of his minions jumped up and went to talking for him when I asked the question, and I still have never got an answer on who here has the authority to put those people on the border. But they will not do it.
And so, therefore, technically, there is no hope if they're not going to do this.
Well, it has to change here in Washington. I know I talk fairly bad about the Border Patrol, but I know a lot of good agents. I know a lot of good people who are trying to do their job. And it should be a clear black and white issue, a law enforcement. It should not be a political
football.
Exactly, and that's what goes on. You know, the ICE detention center in Eloy, Arizona, when the government was talking about the sequester, they turned loose 3,500 people, several hundred of which were convicted murderers. They opened the gates and let them walk out. How can you do that to American citizens?
Well, it's just like the sanctuary cities, correct?
Exactly.
Somebody finishes their sentence and they don't even tell ISIS that they are getting ready to release.
Kathleen Wiley.
Yes,
was
exactly.
Killed.
Yes.
You know, San Francisco, there's a lot of sanctuary cities. And that goes against...
the Constitution?
Everything.
Yeah, our laws, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. How... they're here illegally. The first thing they've done is break the law. How can you cater to these people?
Well, because they're poor people and they have nothing, Fred. I mean, come on. Isn't that what we should do?
No.
I agree.
We should not.
Right. We should not, and that's why it's costing our social system
services.
So much services. They're spending so much money just trying to take care of all these people.
Well, in Cochise County, there's only one hospital with an obstetrical ward left. They've broke them all because of the women coming over and having anchor babies. That needs to be changed. It was never meant for that to be when that law was written.
Absolutely. You are so correct. Well, I just appreciate you so much coming and talking to us. Are you going to be in Washington any longer doing anything else while you're here? Are you going to see anybody, congresspeople or anything while you're here?
Yes, we're trying to see McCain and Flake both, which we haven't seen McCain in 3 years. He's thrown us to the wolves, so to speak.
And why is that? Why is McCain throwing y'all to the wolves?
Because I think he's embarrassed about how little he's done to help.
And he's up for re-election.
Yes, he is.
And I understand he has a pretty strong opponent.
I certainly hope so.
Well, okay, there you go. We heard it right here from Fred Davis here today. You have been recorded on WCRS. We'll talk to you after the election then for sure.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Fred Davis and his wife Peggy Davis, they are from Arizona. They are ranchers. Thanks for taking the time with us here today, Fred.
I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to hear a quick, I guess we're almost time for South Carolina radio news. Let's hear the news, and I've got another guest right here. I got another cowboy with me here. In fact, while we're doing it, maybe we can get two cowboy pictures with me in the center. Wouldn't that be cool? All right, we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
That's right. We're right back here live from Washington, D.C. with FAIR, Hold Their Feet to the Fire. We're talking about immigration. We're talking about the problems. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about it all, folks, because it's a subject that needs to be discussed, and everybody needs to understand what other parts of the country are dealing with. We deal with a part of it in Greenwood, South Carolina, and our surrounding areas. A lot of the drugs come from Arizona and that area, so here with me right now is Ed Ashurst. He is the author of a book. He's a rancher first, and he's written a book. The name of that book is Alligators in the Moat. Alligators in the Moat. You may remember President Obama's famous speech about eventually they'll want alligators in the moat. And you know what? Ed wrote a book about it. How you doing, Ed?
Good. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you are a rancher. Where is your ranch at?
The far southeast corner of Arizona, 150 miles southeast of Tucson. My house, where I actually live, is 20 miles north of the Mexican border, and the ranch that I'm on goes farther south than that.
Okay. How big is your ranch?
55,000 acres.
Well, between yours and the Davis's ranch, you're probably the size of South Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know how many acres we are, but gosh darn, that's a lot of acres.
It takes a lot of acres to run a cow there.
Yeah. And what do you raise on your ranch?
Beef cattle, Hereford cows, Angus bulls, black baldy steers that you buy, and when you go buy a good steak somewhere, probably come off of my place.
Wow. Good to know the man that raised it. You know, in South Carolina and across the country, there's a big push for everybody to know the people that raises the food, whether it's meat products or vegetables, etc. So it's nice to meet a rancher that may have raised our steak.
Right, and we're in the business to make money. It's a viable business. We contribute to the local and national economy, pay our taxes. We're not on welfare. We're out there working hard every day.
And how long have you been in the ranch business?
Well, I'll be 65 here in about 2 weeks, so 65 years.
So is your family in the ranch business, too?
Going back 3-4 generations, yeah. Yep.
Did you ever have any thought? I mean, this is kind of off the topic, but I always got to ask, and since we have a few minutes, did you ever have any other thought of doing anything else other than ranching?
I've tried to do a couple other things, but nothing made me happy like what I'm doing. So.
Wow. So so you are into ranching. You're doing a great job with it, but what is the problem with the border? What's the problem down there?
Those of us that live in close proximity to the border witness thousands and thousands of illegal people walking, people who have entered the country illegally, walking north. And today, most of the people that continue to cross the property that I'm on are packing narcotics of some kind, mainly marijuana, but other types also. I have pictures that I've taken in a game camera, with a game camera hidden in a canyon that's actually north of my house, about 30 miles north of the border. I have lots of pictures of Mexican narco combatants with 50, 60, 70 pounds of dope on their backs. Half the pictures I get are of those same individuals after they have dropped their load somewhere and they're returning south back into Mexico. And as they go south, they burglarize homes, murder people, do every kind of thing that isn't imaginable that is unlawful. That's what we deal with on a daily basis.
And how can they do this? I mean, don't we have border patrol and this type of thing?
I can take you to the border, and if you want to come down there, I will give you a tour.
I'd love to do that.
Large stretches of the border, and I'm not talking a mile or two, 10, 20, 50, 60 miles at a time where there is no federal presence on the border. The Border Patrol has retreated inland in some places as far as 50 miles. So you have basically a Washington, D.C. based or created no man's land where American citizens live without the protection of the United States government.
You know, we keep hearing about the wall, and Donald Trump has said that he's going to build the wall and Mexico will pay for it. What do you think about that possibilities there?
Let me give you a couple stories about the wall. At Naco, Arizona, Cochise County, there is a stretch. There's a brand-new $52 million Border Patrol station in Naco that's about 4 or 5 years old. They have a $15 million indoor shooting range.
Wow.
From that Border Patrol station going west to the San Pedro River, there is a fence 15 foot high, solid steel. Since February of 2012, the Mexican cartels have cut 53 pickup size holes in the fence, driven pickup loads of dope, 1,500 pounds at a time, through that fence and gone on north. There's a graded road on the Roosevelt easement right on that fence that you can drive a Ford pickup down 70 miles an hour. And there's a Border Patrol station right there with 400 agents. And the Border Patrol, out of the 53 drive-throughs in the fence, the Border Patrol has not caught one.
Why?
That's documented.
Why?
Because they're not there. They are not there. Quite a few of those loads actually traveled underneath cameras that can read a license plate from 3 miles away that are mounted on 85-foot towers with supposedly agents monitoring those cameras from the Naco Border Patrol Station, and they don't catch any of them. The fence...
You know, if you had somebody working for you, and this was happening, would they continue to have a job?
No.
No.
They would be fired immediately.
Right.
The problem with the fence sounds good.
Okay.
But if you don't have men on the ground at the fence watching the fence is not going to do any good. They're going to go under it, through it, or over it. If you have men on the ground watching the fence, you don't need the fence. The fact is you need personnel on the border. We have the personnel. We have the assets, but they are being deployed north of the border.
fly north of the border. Don't we need them on the border?
The present administration does not want to seal the border. It's that simple. We do not have a policy in place in Washington, D.C., or from Washington, D.C., to deter illegal traffic on the border. They do not want to seal the border. It's that simple. Today, the present policy on the border is the Border Patrol catches the illegal aliens, which the most they catch is 1 in 4. They process them. They run a background check on them. If they do not have a criminal record, they turn those aliens over to ICE, which is a separate federal entity, and ICE turns those loose onto the street, and they do not deport them back south. In other words, the present administration's desire, and actually what is happening, is aliens that are caught are being turned loose. They are not being transported back into Mexico.
From a personal perspective, right? Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but from a personal perspective, how does this affect you and your ranch and your community?
My home has been burglarized multiple times, thousands of dollars worth of merchandise stolen out of my home. I've had aliens break into my home in the middle of the night when people were inside my home. I have had at least 3 different vehicles stolen. They murdered my closest neighbor to the west in March of 2010. I helped track that outlaw that murdered my neighbor into Mexico the next morning. The guy that murdered my neighbor burglarized my son's home a couple hours before he murdered my neighbor. And the items that he stole from my son's house were found at the crime scene with the empty cartridges out of the pistol he used to murder my neighbor. And that is a matter of record. There's a Cochise County Sheriff's Office incident narrative and crime report with those facts in it. I have 4 beautiful granddaughters who luckily were not at home when that guy came up to my son's house. So that is what we live with on a daily basis. The fact is, you can be an Iranian terrorist with a suitcase nuke and a sack full of $100 bills. And if you show up in Agua Prieta, Sonora, and get connected with the right people, which would be Sinaloa cartel operatives, they will guide you across the border, and you can be in Greensboro, South Carolina, or Washington, D.C. Your safe passage will be guaranteed, and you will be there within 48 hours. The border is wide open.
Can I ask you what happened to the case of the guy that killed your neighbor?
The guy that killed him stole a gun, a 40 caliber Glock pistol, out of a pickup 20 miles north of my house. He burglarized my son's home. The stuff that he stole out of my son's home was found at the crime scene, and the guy walked south into Mexico. We did not catch him. He is still on the loose, and basically...
Do they know who it is? Do they have any record if he comes back across the border? Will he be tried for murder?
He had also stolen a cell phone, and they tracked that cell phone, pinged it, what they say. He called another cell phone that belonged to another illegal alien, and that alien crossed back into the nation, back into the United States a few months later, and he was arrested for a different crime, and he is currently in prison. They know that the guy that murdered Rob Krentz talked to that guy because of phone records, but that guy who is in prison will not tell them who the guy is. They've got pretty close idea, and they have a guy in custody who knows who he is, but the guy won't talk.
So he's back in Mexico. He has not come back through the border as far as they know.
Nobody can verify
have
been. There have been a couple of times when the guy had a very large footprint. I helped track him. There has been a footprint like that cross north into the United States in the same area a couple of times, but they can't really say for sure that it's the guy.
And what do you say about that?
I say that we have some real issues here. That's the whole point. Anybody that wants to can get across the border. They are telling the American people that the border is more secure than ever, and that is a blatant lie. So I could go on and on and on. There is a dirt road, county road, maintained by the Presidio County, Texas, that leaves Highway 90 at Valentine, Texas, and goes to the Rio Grande River, goes about 60 miles down the river through a little town called Ruidoso and Candelario to Presidio, which is right on the Rio Grande River, border town, county seat of Presidio County. That road is about 60 miles long. The Border Patrol has been, the agents who work that area have been ordered by their superior officers to not travel down that road at night. There are American citizens that live there. There is no federal presence. I have a friend who is also a cattle rancher in the area, and he is a Presidio County commissioner. He told me that the Border Patrol is mad at the county because they maintain the road. They say you are helping facilitate the trafficking of drugs by illegal aliens.
We're not going to come and protect you.
The county stance is we have American citizens who live up and down that road. They need a good road where they can transport their kids to school.
Sure.
In case they need an ambulance or a deputy sheriff or go to town and buy groceries. But the Border Patrol will not go there. When the sun goes down, there's no federal presence there. That is a documented fact. A year ago, I was at a book signing for another book I wrote in Alpine, Texas, spent the weekend there. My wife and I traveled from Alpine South to Terlinga and the Big Bend Ranch State Park and up the Rio Grande River 50 miles to Presidio and then back north to Marfa. From Alpine to the Rio Grande River is about 70 miles. We never saw a Border Patrol agent. We traveled up a paved highway up the river to Presidio, about 50 miles of river, very beautiful area. Highway goes right along the Rio Grande River. We never saw a Border Patrol agent. We got to Presidio, a border town. We never saw a Border Patrol agent. We drove back 60 miles north to Marfa on Highway 90 and finally started seeing Border Patrol. The Border Patrol is not on the border. Here's another example. South of Sierra Vista, Arizona, the border goes over some hills there, and there's a huge mountain that the Mexican outlaws burned completely down a couple of years ago, called the Huachuca Mountains, very high, rough mountain peak. It's between Sierra Vista and the border fence. Right there on the west side of Sierra Vista is an operational United States Army base called Fort Huachuca. The Army is using it today and has been for over 100 years. The Mexican outlaws pack drugs over the top of that mountain every night. There are Mexican outlaws in those mountains all the time. When they get to the north slope, they walk down, and at night they walk across a United States Army base on a daily basis.
And the Army isn't doing anything about this?
They walk right by buildings. That is an Army intelligence center. That's one of the bases of the fort, one of the main things they do there. And there are Mexican outlaws pack drugs across that fort every day, and if you don't believe me, go to Cochise County and talk to Sheriff Mark Daniels. The Border Patrol doesn't catch them. There's no Border Patrol on the border on the south slope of the Huachuca Mountains. True story.
Well, what about the Army? Why don't they do something? They're walking on their property is what you're telling me, right?
You tell me. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, and yet you talk to your Congress people, right?
We currently have a real good Congresswoman, Martha McSally, who had been there one term. Hopefully she'll get reelected. She has been very good, one of the few politicians that I personally have any faith in, and she has really tried to go to bat for us. We totally support her and like her. The rest of Arizona's delegation, John McCain and Jeff Flake in particular, are a total failure. They've done nothing. They're Republicans, and they have totally turned their back on the situation on the border.
Why?
Political correctness.
Why do we have political... we talk about political correctness, but what has happened to the fact of being America first? I'm sorry, America first.
I wish I knew. That's what... one of the things that hit me when I come to this town, I'd never been here, very thrilled to be here and see the sights. I went to the Capitol building, and they have a barricade across the bottom of the steps going up the Capitol. And I asked a policeman there, how long's this barricade been here? He said, ever since 9/11. So here we have, at our Capitol, the Capitol building barricaded off, and a policeman standing there with a pistol that's going to shoot me if I step over the barricade to walk up the steps of the Capitol building. It's a disgrace. And yet, our southern border is deliberately vacated and retreated from. I have no explanation for it.
You know, I can liken that because I think this is a real good example, is they're now talking about putting a bigger fence around the White House, the People's House, the White House.
Right.
And I personally believe that if the Secret Service had done what was necessary when that first person jumped over the fence, that we wouldn't have people continually jumping over the fence.
Well, that begs another question. Why, being this is supposed to be the government of the people, for the people, we the people, why does the man that lives in the White House deserve to have a big fence around him and the greatest police force in the world that the taxpayers pay for, and yet when we ask for some protection in our homes, he ignores us? Tell me that.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to it, but I know that you're right and that's real. But our priorities are all wrong.
Absolutely.
When it comes to our country.
Absolutely.
What do you think is the future, Ed? I mean, I know you're out here talking so many ranchers, so many people. What do you think really is the future of our country as it comes to immigration?
There's a couple of misconceptions that are promoted by people who live and work in D.C., and one of the big things, number one, they say the border's more secure than ever. That's a blatant lie. I could go on for hours about that. Number two, they want people to think that this is an unsolvable situation, and that's a lie also. You could saw it's not rocket science. We could solve this problem. We have the assets to do it. But the assets we have are being used in unsatisfactory matter. This is a solvable problem. We just need the will to do it.
You know, I think you're so right. Do you think there's any hope with the Republicans standing up here futuristically? And do you think there's any hope with Donald Trump?
Well, he's a whole lot better than the alternative. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Do you think anything's going to be done in Congress in the next session?
Hopefully we'll get John McCain out of there and a few of those other rhinos and get some men that...
Or women.
Or men or women. Martha McSally, I already mentioned her. She's been very, very good, and we really appreciate what she's done.
Thank you, Ed. We really appreciate you coming on. I'm so glad you had the opportunity to spend some time with us this morning. God bless you and good luck. And someday I might be down there on the border with you.
You come and see me and I'll give you a tour. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ed. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Andy, I'm going to let you take it to the top of the hour, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Rob Gilchrist, voice of the Emerald Vikings, and I want to tell you about Romac Trophies and Signs. Romac Trophies and Signs maintains specialized service and offers their customers personalized and customized attention. Are you looking for a special way to reward your employees or team? Try a trophy, acrylic award, plaque, or medal. Romac Trophies and Signs adds your company or organization's logo and engrave your award to make it more personal. Visit their huge showroom in the Hampton Place Shopping Center and let Romac Trophies and Signs help you select the perfect gift for retirement or employee recognition. Are you coaching a team and want to recognize your players? Romac Trophies and Signs custom builds trophies on site to fit your budget and your individual needs. Romac is a proud sponsor of WCRS and sponsors the Player of the Week for Emerald Viking football. That's Romac Trophies and Signs at the Hampton Place Shopping Center in Greenwood. Call them today at 864-229-9277.
Okay, they just told me I am on. Listen, we just had one of the Border Patrols that was listening in on our conversation here. Brandon, he was on the border. He said he was right there talking about the Army base and the Border Patrol. He said the Army will arrest you, American citizen, if you are on the property of the U.S. government's base there, but they do not work together with the Border Patrol to do anything. This is just another example of how our government doesn't work. They will not work together. You know, I've been ranting and raving this since my flight from Greenville up here about the TSA and the airlines working together to make sure people don't miss their flights. This is another example. The only difference is this is a huge problem because this involves invasion into our country. I just wanted to bring this up, and he did tell me we can get a call in from him, so I will be looking forward to bringing you more even after we come back to Greenwood. Hey, you know what? It's been fun this morning. I hope you have enjoyed hearing the stories that you just don't get to hear because we're in Greenwood, and we don't hear this type of stuff, and that's why Radio Row right here with Hold Their Feet to the Fire and FAIR is going on. Immigration is a huge problem. I don't think I've heard anybody say, I have not heard anybody say that they were against immigration. They are against illegal immigration. They are for legal immigration, and they're for saving our country. Isn't that what it's all about? It's saving our country. We have a country to leave not only for ourselves here, but for future generations. Will there be a country that we recognize to leave to future generations? That's it for me. I'm Ann Eller. I think we're going to try to get over there to the museum, and we'll be recording some stuff and bringing it back to Greenwood with you. We'll be back at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Don't miss out. This is some fascinating stuff. And this afternoon, we're going to be talking to Rusty Fleming. He has done some very interesting things. He's been embedded with the cartels. How do you manage that and live through it? I don't know, but I'm going to ask him. Hope you'll stay tuned this afternoon. Bye-bye, everybody.